Those Two Girls on Hit 105.
Hey guys, this is the Those Two Girls podcast. If you, I just spat some avocado toast.
Oh, so professional. Sorry. Yes, that's the standard we're all used to, and it's going to continue in this podcast. So great show today. Lee's gave it a.
Oh, I forgot to rate. I'm going to rate it here. It was north of a 10. I'm going to go 11.5 out of 10.
Well, listen in.
Those Two Girls on Hit 105. Lisa and Sarah's.
I have never been this angry in my entire life.
Triggered.
Yep, that's right, guys. 13 10 60, every day we're going to be offering you guys a safe place to offload the little things that irritate you, the things in life, Sarah, that set you off. Here's some of our favourites today.
Triggered.
People who say something.
With a K.
Triggered.
At the supermarket, and you step back from the shelves, and you're trying to look on the shelves and see what's there, and then people come and stand in front of you.
Triggered.
Sending text messages to somebody, and they don't even bother to reply to me.
Triggered.
Oh my gosh, that's so dramatic, isn't it?
People in Brisbane are angry.
Just get it off your chest, Brisbane. Get it off your chest. On 13 10 60, Lees, what's triggered you?
Okay. You know when you approach an intersection in your car?
Yes.
And someone gives you the right of way at that intersection, but it's their right of way.
Triggered.
I'm yes. confused. It makes me question everything in life.
And then you're trapped doing this sign language. You're like, no, you go. And they're like, no,
just
you. And it's like, you,
learn
go.
The road rules and don't confuse me any more than I'm already confused in life. Sarah, what's yours?
Well, mine's even more drama filled than that.
Is it?
It is. I went to Woolies, bought a new pump pack of hand wash to put in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Spent $8 on it.
Ooh, big spender.
Steep. I like my patchouli hand wash. Okay. Pump, pressed down the pump. Pump didn't work.
Defective.
Triggered.
Oh, I can't even talk right now.
So what
happens?
Every
time
now
I've got to unscrew
it.
The whole thing, put a bit of liquid soap on. I should have just bought a bar of soap.
Triggered.
13 10 60, Brizzy, we are talking about what has triggered you of late. Of course, this is the safe place where you can just let something that's given you a little bit of an irrit off your chest and go on with your day. Lees, have you got another one?
Yeah, I do. You know when you're watching telly and someone takes a phone call without leaving the room? Don't like it. Don't like
Can't
it.
Can't handle
it.
I've got one from my mum, actually. So mum and dad came to stay last weekend, and mum is now using triggered in her daily language, which I love. Dad had the TV up super loud, and mum asked him to turn it down 3 times.
Mm.
And then she looked at me and said,
triggered.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God, I love it. It's totally catching on. Okay, Samantha from Upper Coomera, what's triggered you?
Elevator sitting in the right-hand lane on the
triggered.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Again.
When you're learning to drive, you shouldn't be in the fast lane.
Yeah. It's... Who is the person sitting in the passenger seat? Like...
Oh, yes. So really your beef is with the passenger teaching the L-plater as opposed to the L-plater.
Both of them. With all people who don't abide by road rules, Samantha, I'm totally with you. Mel from Redbank, what's triggered you lately?
Oh, my God. So you know when you come up to a set of lights and there's no green arrow and it's just green?
Yeah.
And the freaking person in front of you doesn't go out halfway?
Triggered.
Yes.
And you have to wait for another set of lights?
Mel, you're so angry about this, aren't you?
Do you feel better though for getting it off your chest?
Yes, I do.
Thank
I
you.
Hope people can hear this.
It's like a community service announcement from Mel from Redbank. I get what you mean. You need them to inch forward, show some respect, show me that you're moving, show me that you're doing, and you've seen the green. I love it.
Sky from Ipswich, what's triggered you?
Is when someone sends a thumbs up after you just sent a massive message.
Triggered.
Oh my God, Sky, you've just hit a nerve. You've hit a nerve.
It annoys me so much.
This is how we're laughing, because this is how Lise and I communicate with each other. So obviously we don't switch off when we're not on radio. So we'll often be messaging way into the night. And then when one of us has had enough and we just want to go to bed, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Because thumbs up, Skye, you're so right. It is so dismissive, isn't it?
It's like,
it
I'm done here. Is. I'm done with you, Skye. I'm done with you, Lise. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, Skye.
It's like if you were actually having a conversation and they did that to you, you'd be like, what are you doing?
Oh, my God. We need to start doing this IRL, in real life. When people just talk too much, thumbs up. I'm going to do it.
All the time.
I love
Skye,
that.
Skye, we're giving you thumbs up for a thumbs different up. Reason. What an awesome trigger.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Lise, yesterday you and I both realised that we are not checking our breasts enough ourselves, that we're relying on our GPs to do the annual breast exam for us, and we need to be a little bit more vigilant. And we even got in Dr. Devani Amaratunga, who's a gynae and fertility specialist all across women's health, like a rash. Could see her about that.
That was an unfortunate turn of phrase, Sarah.
And she told us that 50% of women aren't checking their breasts. So that means 50% of Brizzy women are like us and are being a bit lax.
Well, I think it's just so hard. That's what we were talking about. We're all so busy.
Yep.
I would love it to become like, you know, you get in a car, you put your seatbelt on. We need those reminders. We need something that really triggers the call to action, which is to get in the shower and check your boobs the way Dr. Dev gave us a quick rundown yesterday.
Yeah, and that video is on Hit 105's Facebook page too. But we put it to our facey, and we had a great idea from a lady called Carly, who said that she actually sends out a Facebook reminder to all her friends on once a month, I think, have you done your breast check?
And she said that people, her group of friends, have become so accustomed to getting her reminders that if she does forget, they end up messaging her back and going, you forgot to remind us. So I think it goes to show that you can really get into the habit of something and create that that routine. Some other ideas of, that we got on Facebook was obviously using just the first day of the month as your reminder. What else did we get?
But what about that? Sometimes, I mean, I'm fine with that, but I'm someone who works better with visual clues as well. So I'm thinking, I mean, I probably go through a bottle of shampoo a month once my shampoo bottle runs out. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Once a month.
Yeah, I probably wash my hair every day. I've got greasy hair. Don't judge me. I wash my hair regularly.
Hair.
It is. It's like Professor Snape if I don't wash it regularly. Okay, so if I go through a bottle of shampoo, that's probably once a month. Maybe that could be my reminder to do my monthly breast check in the shower.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I know that the McGrath Foundation have also released an app called CurveLerve. You put in all your details and it just sends you reminders
on
your
Curve and then L-U-R-V-E?
CurveLerve, yes. Okay. C-U-R-V-E, L-U-R-V-E. And that's a great way. I think it sends you notifications. We also touched on using good old Justin Bieber.
Yes.
You know, Justin Bieber, Justin Bieber, same, different. I think that I'm more of an audio cue person,
okay.
So I'm going to go with Bieber songs.
So whenever you hear a little bit of...
I'll just start checking my tartars.
Well, look,
doesn't matter where I am. Brisbane, watch out. It'll be over the top, over my jumper. It's whatever. Whatever it takes, Sarah.
Oh, there we go. Check your tatas.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Said to me, Sarah, Gavin DeGraw is in Brisbane. I said, amazing. Who is he?
Sarah, shame on you. Gavin DeGraw is an American recording artist. He was a Grammy nominee, for the love of God.
I'm impressed.
I mean, he was huge. His song was that, like, that main song tune on One Tree Hill. Remember that telly show?
I never watched that. I don't think Mum let me watch that show.
Sarah, that show came out in 2003. You would have been 23. What do you mean your mum didn't let you?
Hang on, maybe that was Degrassi High. Maybe I'm getting confused. I wasn't allowed to watch
anyway,
that one.
Anyway, going back to Gavin DeGraw. He's here in Brisbane. Last night he played a show at the Triffid, and we found out that one of the girls in the office is next level obsessed with him.
Like a psychopath.
psychopathically obsessed. So we decided to sneak Gav in through the back doors of the Hit 105 studios.
Under the guise of getting Rach in to just tell us some lines about Gavin because she was off to his concert last night. She bought tickets.
She had no idea he was here. This is how it played out. How long have you been obsessed with Gavin for?
Oh, I wouldn't say obsessed. I would say a respectful fan of his art.
Maybe since what?
Since I was like 14.
How old are you now?
26.
Okay.
That's a solid dash.
I think it's a solid effort.
It's like 12 years.
You say it's not inappropriate, but like, how much do you know about him?
Oh, I don't know that much. Like, I had to Google on Friday if he had a girlfriend or not in preparation.
Critical. Okay, so was it off the One Tree Hill? Is that what hooked you?
No.
Really?
Like, he was on One Tree Hill and he sung the theme song for One Tree Hill.
Ah,
did you guys know?
Let's do it.
Anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I want to do is a piece of mine.
Right, you guys, you're ruining his art.
Do you know how old he is?
Yes, because I also Googled this on Friday in preparation for our date.
It would be a nice age difference. Okay, so if you had to take him on a date, what would you do? Where would you go?
Okay, so this is so easy because I've actually thought about this when I meet him tonight. And
are you going to his concert?
Yeah, of course.
He's playing at the Triffid, right?
Yeah, he's playing at the Triffid. Yeah, so I would present him with a Welcome to Brisbane pack, which includes my own personal copy of Rachel's Guide to Brisbane.
That sounds dodge.
Vegemite, Tim Tam. So maybe we would go to... I would definitely show him South Bank. We would go to Mount Cootha.
Together?
Of course together.
Like with his bodyguards?
Like Mac-on in a car at Mount Cootha.
Does he know what Mac-on mean? Is that American?
Rachel would teach him.
You're so seedy. Oh, my God.
We would go probably, I think, out for some nice dinner and drinks, probably around like Eagle Street Pier, overlooking
like
the river.
Like
yeah, that's a little bit messy. I have to impress it.
Some food or what?
Oh, my God.
Rachel, I'm Gavin. Nice to meet you.
Oh, my God. This is so embarrassing.
Oh, pleasure.
We were just talking
about
how I was going to ask you on a date.
Let's do it.
Did you hear about that, Gavin? Did you hear about her dream date with you?
I say yes.
Woo!
I like your hairdo.
Come in nice and close.
Oh, my gosh. Rach.
Oh, Rach is in her element now. Oh,
Rach is peaking. This is like... next
very
level.
Cute. I'm flattered.
You know, we were
going
to say about macking on. Were you wanting
macking
to...
on?
Do you know what that means in Australia?
What does it mean in Australia?
Well, it means like having
just
a
pash.
It means
like
making
hitting
out
on somebody.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
it means
yeah.
like a pash. Like
we're not going to ask you to do that.
I don't
worry.
Mean pash either.
Oh, snog.
No, that's English, Sarah.
Kiss.
Anyway, this
oh,
is
kisses.
Awkward.
Yeah. Like a making out, a make out session.
Make out, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I hope
surprised.
I didn't scare you too much.
You did scare me a bit. I know, you know what? I feel like maybe I embarrassed myself like 10%, but I feel like...
You didn't embarrass yourself. I thought you handled it very, very well.
Yeah, she reckons she only embarrassed herself 10%. Love that. She did so well.
Very
poor
sweet
old Rach. Look, guys, the video of that whole prank between Rach and Gavin DeGraw is up now on Hit 105's Facebook page. It's a doozy. Go have a look.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
How much have you spent on your pets? This is because the Courier-Mail's got an article in today's paper about... a survey that's been released saying that Aussies are spending 3 times more on their pets than they are on things for themselves.
Okay, so this isn't in Australia, but get this, Sarah. In New York, there's a company called Zen Xian, and it offers haute cuisine for sophisticated dog palates. Their menus include dishes like Mediterranean lamb and yogurt, parmesan chicken. That's better than what I made my kids for dinner last night.
I didn't even know what haute cuisine is.
Haute cuisine is like haute couture. It's like top notch, best of, rah, rah, she,
oh,
she.
I mean, I think that's a bit excessive.
Well,
personally.
I mean, look, Nathan from Albany Creek, how much money have you spent on your pet?
I don't spend anything on my fish. I just throw fish
Thanks
food
Thanks for
in
calling,
the
Nathan.
No.
So you've got fish?
There's a lady. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're great. There's a lady that walks into the coffee shop near my work that walks her dog in a pram. And the dog is dressed. I'm talking a full wheel, full seat pram, and the dog is sitting there all high and mighty.
You know, I had high and
You sound
and
a bit
mighty.
Jealous, Nathan. Are you jealous of that? What is it, a terrier?
I don't know. It's one of those little dog things. I don't know. I don't know dogs. I know a friend of mine who loves dogs. I don't
Yes. You know what, Nathan? I have seen these dog prams around. They're becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, some people use an actual baby pram, but there are also proper dog prams. I don't want to judge. I don't want to judge because I know that dogs become part of the family and I don't, you know, but yeah, it's weird.
Well, I just think if reincarnation is a thing, please let me come back as one of those people's pets. They have an amazing life. Tegan from Regent Park, good morning. How much have you spent on your pets?
Morning. Me and my partner just recently spent $5,500 on our pet.
What on earth happened?
Yeah. She had to have surgery, so she tore it as ACL. So she needed a knee reconstruction.
Does she play rugby league? She's got a torn ACL.
Sure, my partner does. He costs enough as it is.
So if you're going to lose the partner or the dog, if it's between the two of them, who are you going to choose, Tegan?
I mean, I really love my dog.
All right, decision made. We'll send you off to some marriage counselling soon. Lucy from Albany Creek, you have four horses. Hold on, you have outfits for your horses?
Yeah, they've all got to be matching.
What do they wear?
So it's really cold right now. So they have like a little fleecy jumper on and then they have almost like a doona rug on.
And what colours are we talking here?
Oh, pink and blue, obviously. Pink for the girls, boy.
And I mean, the thing is, Lucy, I mean, just full stop, one horse is expensive. Four is buying a house.
But I got them from the doggers, so they're all rescues.
Oh, okay. We love you, Lucy.
I'm a sucker, you know.
But, Lucy,
not my heart.
How much does a dog jumper cost? What is that, a horse blanket? Is that a horse blanket or a horse jumper?
Yeah, so you can go anywhere from a good $50 for just a cotton sheet to a good $600 for a rug.
Oh, 600. And you're up at the 600 end, aren't you, Lucy? I can hear the love in your voice.
I get really cold easy and I just imagine how they are in a paddock. So,
Lucy, you know, they're horses though and they have fur. Do they have fur?
They've got coats.
Because they're rugged up, they don't get fluffy. Mm.
Yes. Well, look, I love horses. So I'm all for a horsey blanket. In fact, I'd like one right now.
Let's hear from Taylor. Taylor from Ipswich, what are you spending your pet money on, or what are you buying your pets?
It wasn't me. It was actually my mum. I think she's the worst. She spent $10,000 on my dog's surgery.
What was wrong with the dog?
She came home and she was just like paralyzed and she had to put her into surgery. She didn't care. She said, yep, whatever. She didn't know it at the start. And then they said $10,000. She's like, yep, go.
I mean, look, that's really nice because there are so many people out there who aren't nice
and
to animals.
That if
they are. I mean,
was the dog old?
No, she's like, I think she's 10. That's old, isn't it? Yeah.
That's old.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a big call.
Didn't you need to have spinal surgery?
Well, yeah, my parents just put me in a back brace for 3 years, though. They wouldn't have paid $10,000 for spinal surgery for me. But, you know, Taylor's mum did, so it's all good. Well, some very generous Brisbaneites.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
So today and yesterday, Sarah, we've been having lots of chats around the topic of boobs.
Yes.
Mostly the fact that we've realised that we don't do self-breast checks enough. This was following a doctor's appointment that I had, a general checkup where the doctor asked me point blank how often I did self-checks in the shower, and I just realised that it was a really pitiful amount given the fact that I have a history of breast cancer in my family.
You and me both. So we looked into it even further. We had Dr. Devani Amaratunga on the show yesterday to talk us through some stats. And one that really stuck out to us was that 50% of women don't do self-breast exams. So we're in that 50%, Lise, and I think we can do something about it.
Yeah.
So yesterday we were workshopping how can we educate women and have fun.
Have fun is the main thing.
While learning about our buzzies. And so we've come up with a little something something.
Those two girls want you to check your two girls. My milkshake brings
all the boys to the yard. Yep.
Hit 105's Breast Day Out.
We're doing it, Sarah. Breast Day Out. We are, guys, holding a free event this Saturday right here at the Hit 105 station. Now, we're going to have GPs milling around here. Dr. Dev will be here as
She's
well.
She's in.
What else are we doing?
Well, the whole purpose is to learn how to check your breasts correctly. So if you've got a teenage daughter, bring her in. If you just want to use it as an excuse to catch up with a friend, have a cracking good time. I'll tell you what, you people know we love a pun. There's going to be breast puns all over the place.
We like
there.
A detail. There's going to be boob donuts. Look, if you're interested in coming, please tell your friends. Come with a mate. We know that sometimes these things can be scary. We want to turn that on its
head. And we want to make it easy for you, because what Dr. Dev told us yesterday is those women who are in that 50% of not doing regular breast checks is because we just put it at the bottom of the to-do list. Yeah. We forget about it, and we don't want that to happen.
So no excuses this Saturday. There's going to be food. There's going to be drink. There's going to be boob donuts. There's going to be
I thought you were going to say booze then. There's not booze.
Not booze.
But I tell you what, register right now at hit105.com.au. And one of the reasons we're doing this is because of Brizzy women like Claire. Now, we've got her on the line. Claire, you've got a bit of a story to tell, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have always checked my breasts very regularly. I have a strong family history of cancer. My mum passed away in February last year, and my sister had cancer in her late 20s. So wow. I've always checked, and I always checked on the weekend after my period finished. For two reasons. The first one is that your breasts change texture throughout your cycle as your hormone levels change.
Yes. Yep.
So I wanted to pick a time when they were at their least lumpy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And also I wanted to check at the same time each month, because that way you're comparing to the same sort of breast texture as the month before. So I've always done that. And in March 2013, I checked and there were no lumps there. In April 2013, I checked and there was a lump in my left breast.
Wow.
Pretty small, but because I knew what I was looking for, I went straight to the doctor. And it was cancer. So I've had a bilateral mastectomy, so both breasts removed and reconstructed.
Mm.
And I've also had a complete hysterectomy.
Wow.
And because of the kind of cancer that I had, just to make sure it doesn't come back.
And I'm amazed, just to interrupt, Liz, at how quickly that change happened.
So that was a month. Yeah.
That there was nothing there in the March. And then in April, boom, there's a lump.
And what does that feel like? What does it feel like to find it? And then what went through your head in that moment?
The funny thing is, I've often heard people describe it as feeling like a pea. And the first thing that went through my head was, oh man, it really does feel like a pea.
Right.
And look, it feels different for everybody, but mine was very close to the surface.
Yep.
And it felt just like a pea, just like a very round pea. And in my head, made peace with the fact that I had a strong family history and it was something that could happen to me. But I do remember when I went to see the breast surgeon, and at the end of about 20 minutes of talking, he said to me, you know, do you have any questions? And I said, look, I just want to check, have I got cancer? And he looked at me as if to say, look, I've been saying that for 20 minutes. But because it's hard to
process.
People, I think, are often afraid to check their breast or afraid to go to the GP if they see something that's not normal because
you're afraid of what you're going to hear. Yeah.
You don't want the diagnosis. But, you know, I avoided chemotherapy and I avoided radiation because I found my lump so quickly. So
amazing.
I would say, if you see something in any part of your body that you're not sure about, if it doesn't seem right, go straight to the doctor. Don't be afraid of the diagnosis, because the quicker you get on top of cancer,
the better the result.
And the more women know how to check their breasts properly, the better. So, Claire, thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're
we are going to do something with this at Hit 105.
Great.
And
you're exactly the type of woman we needed to hear from.
Yes.
That's what
it is. Look, my pleasure. I wanted to spread the message.
Yep, and what we're doing about it, Sarah, Breast Day Out. Those two girls want you to check your two girls. Do you like that?
Oh, we love it. So we're making it easy for you. This Saturday morning, 8th of July, come on down to Hit 105.
It's going to be fun.
Brizzy, I don't want a big note, but if you've heard about those two girls' events, they're a pretty good show. So we will treat you right while you are treating your body right by learning how to check your breasts properly at the hands of GPs and Dr. Devani Amaratunga, who will be here as well.
Now, guys, we're putting a link to that registration page, that event registration page, on the Hit 105.5 Facebook page. That'll be up soon. Share it around. Blokes, if you're listening, get the women in your life to come along.
Yep, or you can shortcut all that and register right now, hit105.com.au. We'd love to see you and your two girls there.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Sarah.
Lise.
You know Birkenstocks?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, Birkenstocks are, you know, they're a very polarizing shoe.
Yeah, they're revolting.
We'll get to that in a second. For those of you who don't know what Birkenstocks are, they're like leather sandals, something maybe that Frodo Baggins would wear, but I'm a big fan. And Sarah, after 242 years, Birkenstock, my friend, premiered at Paris Fashion Week, proving that me wearing them is a good thing. And I know you hate them, but I'm here to tell you they have made it on the fashion map for a reason.
I mean, that doesn't really count for much in my eyes. I just think that unless you are a hobbit, as you referenced, they should not be on feet. And I don't care when that glitter on them, patent. I just think they're an ugly shoe. In fact, I'm not even afraid to voice that, because one of the first times I met you... Can you remember? Well, the first time I met you, you rocked up to my house wearing knee-high UGG boots. And I was like, I'm going to love this girl. And then I think the next time I saw you, you're in a park with baby Maxie and you're wearing Birkenstocks. And I was like, this is touch and go.
They are a German footwear brand founded in 1774. It's a health shoe. And
it's just white noise to me what you're saying.
But it shouldn't be white noise, Sarah, because I was reading today in today's paper that there's some issues. Like, we are left teetering on the edge of a crisis from wearing heels. That is the headline. And Birkenstocks are here to save our souls. See what I did there?
Oh, I see what you did there. I do agree that high heels, I mean, my feet are pretty wonky feet. And I did work in an office environment for 10 years and wore high heels, and I'm blaming that. But even so, I would still not put my manky feet in Birkenstocks.
Well, I'm telling you, photographers and stylists worldwide wear these. If you go on Pinterest, there's Birkies everywhere.
I don't care.
There's
a lot of things on Pinterest that shouldn't be there.
I am sure that I'm not the only Brisbaneite that lives and breathes.
I know
the
that
look
they're a cult
feel.
Shoe, but I just think save them for camping.
I'm going to get you some for Chrissy.
No.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Hey, Sarah, last night on The Project, there was a great story that really captured my attention. And it was about a Melbourne mum who started this business called Hire a Nonna. So do you know what a nonna is?
Yes.
Do I look like
I don't know what a nonna
is? Yes, you do.
It's an Italian grandma.
That's right. It is an Italian grandma. So this lady out of Melbourne had just returned to work, had three young children at home and was really feeling the weight of that.
Yes.
And one night she was having a glass of wine with her hubby and they were both sort of dreaming about how good it would be if there was someone at home like a nonna to have some food ready for them when they got home, looked after the kids, had them bathed, all of that, the stuff that grandmas do.
Yes.
Would you hire a nonna?
What do you
think of the whole concept?
Well, I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, I rely on my mum so much to help me with my kids because my husband's work is very unreliable. I don't know when he's going to be around and when he's not going to be. So I think... I sometimes feel guilty for putting so much pressure on my own family, but I don't necessarily want an 18-year-old au pair or anything like that. I like the responsibility that comes with somebody who's raised their own children. And
that's right. And I think what this business does is they basically find women, like you say, that have already done their child rearing. Some of these women have grown children. So they're more than just a babysitter or a cleaner or a cook. You can get those services independently. This is about finding someone. It's sort of like a mush, I guess, of all of those services and good old-fashioned multi-generational love.
Do you think it would be, there'd be childcare benefits or like government
I reckon there would be because it's legit. It's not a. It's a legitimate business.
Hang on, producer's just given us info.
Have a read. I think there would be.
It does say you may be eligible for childcare benefit when using a nonna. I mean, that is bliss.
I think
it's
a great
your
idea.
Own home.
I think it's a great idea. It's really showing. I mean, people are having to think outside the box with all of this childcare stuff.
Yes,
because you and I both work
irregular hours.
I mean, I'm thinking my mum would be great at this.
Yes.
I mean, she came over yesterday and soaked my tea towels for no apparent reason other than the fact that they were incredibly dirty and stained.
But I think there's a difference between your mum wanting to do something for you as her daughter and then going out and doing it for somebody else.
Well,
too.
I'm not going to pimp her out, Sarah.
No,
I'm just asking,
would she be willing to soak my tea towels at any stage?
I mean, who knew? I don't have time to soak tea towels in nappy sand, but my mum does. And I'm telling you, it feels great to have like white, white and bright.
Because what's your mum called in French?
My parents are French. So, well, her name is Nicole.
Yeah, no, that's not very French. Let's pretend it's Nicolette. Yes.
But
what's grandma? If Nonna is...
Oh, okay. So what do my kids call her? They call her Mummy Nick.
Oh, hire a Mummy Nick. I quite like that. That's got a nice ring to it too. Could we take the Brisbane arm of that?
Yeah, well, we could. I think we could. Well, I think we could pimp our mums out and make them.
Well, I'm looking into this hire and nonna business.
I think it's a lovely idea. I think it's a beautiful idea that could just take over the world.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Chopper Dave's going to be on with your check on the roads in just a few minutes' time. Right now, you got winter breakfast with those two girls.
Guys, do you consider kissing someone else cheating? 131060, we would absolutely love to hear from you if you don't think kissing is cheating. I'd love to hear from them. Sarah, you're all fired up about this. I can tell you. You've gone all silent.
I'm a bit like, oh, this is nonsense. But it's a new survey. Apparently, shocking research reveals that men believe that passionately smooching another woman does not count as infidelity.
So 19% do not think.
And 9% of women think that kissing another person would not be a relationship deal breaker.
I mean, is it for you?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, good luck if Wills goes and Max on with somebody else. I'll take it all. I'll take it all if you're listening. It's all mine.
You can keep the kids.
Yep. Yeah. No, they're mine too. Everything. You're ruined. Don't.
I mean, for me too, there's no question. I'm not even going to play the other side of this. For me, it's an absolute deal breaker. If Dane was to pash someone else, forget it.
No.
Ciao, see you later.
Yeah.
131060. I wonder if we're going to get any calls, Sarah, from people who don't think it's a big deal to pash and that is not considered cheating. I mean
we want to hear
stats.
From you. Come and take us on, Brizzy. Take us on. Put your perspective across.
Here are some cheating stats. 45% of young lovers said they considered their partners even flirting with someone else to be cheating. 31% over all age groups said they would split up with a flirty partner. What do you feel about flirting, though?
I mean, flirting, you're not actually doing anything. I mean, if you're a flirty kind of person, you're generally like good with conversation, good with laugh. You've got good communication skills. That's kind of how I see
face-to-face
flirting. Yeah.
Not text. That's out for me.
No, that's gone.
Out. Gone. Listen to this. Twice as many women as men said they thought their partner watching pornographic material alone meant they were being unfaithful. That's a tricky one.
Anyway.
Luke, what do you think? Cheating or not cheating if you kiss someone?
It is definitely cheating. This is me personally. If you're committed into a relationship, you should be that one person only. And I think that's just disgusting. Thinking about kissing somebody else, it makes my heart just drop out of my skin.
Yep, I'm with you, Luke. It does. It does. But I mean, every relationship is different, and we're going to be open-minded here because we are really interested in hearing different points of view. I think that's the great thing about
That's it, because if you're in a relationship where that kind of behaviour is consensual, then nobody actually gets hurt there. It's where you feel like, as Luke said, your heart would drop.
Absolutely. Then it's not okay with you. Let's hear from Giselle from Holland Park. Giselle, what are your thoughts on this matter?
I think it's about circumstance. Like, I've got a long-term partner. We've been together 7 years. And if he went out and had a few drinks with mates and got a bit silly and maybe kissed some girl, I really wouldn't be upset. But if he went out with the pure intent to go out and hook up with someone, then I would be hurt.
Okay.
The intention's there as opposed to like it being a mistake. And I honestly wouldn't even care if he kissed someone at a pub when he was drunk once.
Does it go vice versa for you though as well?
Pardon?
Does it go vice versa for you as well? Does he say the same about you if you got a bit silly and did that with some other fellow that he wouldn't be angry?
Yeah, I think it's like we haven't given each other a license to do that or anything like that. But ultimately, it's not something that it wouldn't be something that would be like, oh, we're
a deal breaker for you. Yeah.
And do you think it's as long as he tells you? Does that come into play in your couple?
Yes, no. I mean, if he felt like he had something to hide, then that's probably an indicator too to me. Like if he was just open with me and told me that's the same. It's different again. Like if he hid it, then I'd probably feel a bit more upset because I'd feel like there's probably more to the story.
More to worry about.
Yeah,
interesting, Giselle.
There's smoke, there's fire. Yeah.
I'm really interested in that. Thank you so much for calling through. What about Josh from Mount Gravatt? Josh, what do you reckon? Hey.
Yeah, well, me and the missus have talked about it and basically she said, if you did it with another guy, I wouldn't really care. With a chick, I would. And I said, if you were to do it with either, then I would be quite mad.
Okay, so for you, it's a non-negotiable whoever she pashes. But for her, you can pash another guy and that's okay, but not a girl.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Basically. She said she'd just laugh at me.
Okay.
If I was to do it with another guy.
You know what? At least you guys have spoken about it. This is the thing. This is like the conversation has been had. What, Josh, how old are you?
20.
20. That's pretty good. They're talking about it.
Yes.
I'm down with that. I think that's fine. I think it's a great, I think it's interesting to talk about. I mean, as you said, Sarah, we'd take our husbands to the cleaners personally, but you know, we're not as loving and forgiving and kind-hearted as the rest of our fellow Brisbaneites, are we?
We keep our territory to ourselves.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
You're a nerd.
With Sarah. So if you guys haven't yet picked up that Sarah's a bit slow on the pop culture factor of life in general, this is in fact her very favourite segment called Nerdy McNerd, where Sarah, you choose popular idioms and phrases in the English language, things that we've heard said all the time, but we don't really know what they mean or where they've come from.
Yeah.
So what have you got for me today?
Well, like this breakfast show, flying by the seat of our pants.
Always a segue. Every day. The segues never stop. Okay, so flying by the seat of one's pants, it means doing things on the fly, does it?
Well, yes, it does.
Okay, see? Yes. Tick. Can we move on
just
to the next
one?
Just
like blindly feeling your way, right? Okay, no, we can't.
I got that right.
Because I'll tell you, well, you did, but you don't know the heritage of it, and that's what I'm here for. You can call me Mrs. Wills. Okay. This is fly by the seat of your pants comes from when aeroplanes were very basic. So there was no fandangled gadgetry back then. They were flown by pilots who reacted to the feel of the plane. So just picture an old plane in your head. Can you do that for me, Liz?
I'm just going to close my eyes, but I promise I'm not sleeping.
No, wake up. So the body part of the pilot that obviously had the most contact with the plane was the seat, their bum, right? So they would react to how the plane felt with like winds and temperatures, because instruments back then were often faulty, by how the plane felt under their buttocks. Wake up.
Is it over?
It's over.
Okay. That was good. Interesting. I just flew Jetstar. I'm feeling this pilot. Next.
Okay. What about Goody Two Shoes?
That'd be you.
Yeah.
Yes, it's someone who follows the rules.
Yes.
Yep, a bit of a, yep.
The heritage of that is actually from a story back in the 1700s of a little orphan girl called Marjorie Meanwell. Okay.
I don't even believe that name.
It's a story, you twit. Goodness me, this is why I lead this segment. And she only had one shoe. But a rich man came along and gave her a complete pair, and she kept telling everyone that she had two new shoes, and that became her nickname. And so it was a very popular story, and the moral became that if you acted correctly and had virtue, then you'd be rewarded. Or that a rich man would buy you shoes. I'm not sure.
I'm going with option B. Another one?
I've got one more, but this one is so good. You are going to give this one a solid B+, I feel.
Okay, go.
I'm going to have kittens.
You're excited about something.
I saw the snake and I almost had kittens.
Okay. So when you're scared or surprised or
nervous. Surprised. The first known origin of this was back in 1918. And apparently it was I mean, that's when it was first used, but this was goes back
don't
hundreds
worry
of years.
About
I'm
the
sorry,
dates.
I'm
Go.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm excited. According to the BBC, particularly painful pregnancies were thought to be the result of a witch's curse.
Okay.
So instead of being with child, a woman who was in a lot of pain was thought to have kittens inside her clawing to get them out. So women would be hysterical thinking that they'd be cursed by a witch. And there are even things back in old Scottish court things from the 1600s of women saying, please, can I get rid of this cat in my belly?
You see, when I was giving birth to Maxim, it was a 40-minute labour, people. I described it as get the rhinoceros out of me, not kittens.
Kittens.
Meow. No. Meow. Charging rhinoceros from Hades. That's how I described it personally.
Hit 105 with those two girls. Those two girls on Hit 105.